Today's daf is Kiddush and daf Pei. We left off in daf Ayin Tes Amid Beis. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Ayin Tes Amid Beis. The Mishnah is going to talk about if a guy leaves town and he comes back and he has a wife and kids and he claims that they are all kosher, that they all have good yichus. So what does he have to prove? Does he have to prove his wife? Does he have to prove his kids? And different situations depending on what he left with and what he came back with, depending on the age of the children, the Gemara is going to tell us, depending whether the wife is still alive. So a number of different factors that are going to play into that. The Gemara in Daf Pei Amud Aleph is going to talk about relying on chazakah for various halachas, to give various onshim. Do we rely on a chazakah to even punish somebody or to burn truma if we only know that it's tameh based on a chazakah? On the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to give two cases where we have a case of a safek tuma that's embo das lishol, but we treat it like yeshma das lishol. Typically speaking, when you have a safek tuma, the halacha is safek tuma b'rishus hayachid tameh, safek tuma b'rishus harabim is tahar. But that's derived from sota, and a sota is a woman who's intelligent, who can respond to a question where you can ask whether she was tameh or not. So that rule generally only holds true when it's yeshma das lishol. But if the situation is one that's embo das lishol, we would generally assume that even b'rishus hayachid Sveiko Tahar. But the Gemara is going to give two exceptions where even though something's Ein Bo Das Lishol, it still follows the typical rules of Safik Tum. And then finally on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to start the Sugya of Yichud. It's going to tell us about the Isra of Yichud, how many men, how many women together constitute a violation of Yichud. The Gemara is going to go through what the source is for the Isra of Yichud, whether the Isra of Yichud is the same Shas Aninus at a time where they're involved in burying the dead, and you would think that people are heartbroken. So we're going to have a discussion in the Tanaim about that as well. So let's begin with the Mishnah. Ayin Tes Amud Beis, says the Mishnah, Mishi Yatza Hu V'Ishto L'Medina Siyam. A fellow goes out with his wife to Medina Siyam. They leave, they go far away. Uba Hu V'Ishto Ubanav. And then when they come back, it's a whole family. It's not only him and his wife, they have children as well. Va'amar, and he says, Isha Shiyatza Simi L'Medina Siyam Hare Yuzu. This woman, you may not recognize her. This is the woman that came out, that came with me L'Medina Siyam. I guess she looks different after vacation. So this is the same woman. Ve'elu baneha, and these are her children, meaning they are therefore miyuchas achareha. Sein sarach lahavi raya lo ali isha v'lo ala banim. He doesn't have to bring a raya that the woman is a miyuchas, because when he got married, he already looked into the yichus of the wife. You don't have to prove the yichus of the wife again, nor do you have to prove the yichus of the children, because the Gemara is going to say we're talking about children that are acting like this is their mother. They're kruchim achareha. They're following along the mother. They're tagging along with the mother, and therefore we have the right to assume that's a chazakah, that these are the children of this mother. So once we know that the woman is miyuchas, and we rely on the original check that we did into her yichus when they got married, we can assume that the children are miyuchasim as well. Mesa, if she died, ve'elu banah, and then he comes and he says, yes, she's gone, but these are her children, then mevi raya alabanim, ve'enu mevi raya alisha. He doesn't have to bring a proof for the wife, because again, he brought a proof for the wife when they first got married, but now he's going to have to bring a proof for the children, because the whole reason that we said in the Reisha that he doesn't have to prove the yichus of the children is that they're kruchim achareha, they're following after her, but now she's not there, she's dead, so we don't see any kruchim achareha. So he's going to have to prove that the children, in fact, are miyuchasim. Isha nasasi b'medina siyam. What if he left single and he comes back and he says, I got married when I was b'medina siyam. Harehi zu ve'elu baneha. This is the woman that I married and these are her children. Mevi raya li isha vein tzarech lavi raya labanim. All he's going to have to prove is the woman, because the woman we never checked into before, he was never married before. Once we prove the woman though, once we are able to prove that she's from proper yichus, the children who are kruchim achareha are naturally going to be assumed to be the same, because we make that assumption that if they're kruchim achareha, if they're tagging along with her, that they are in fact her children. But mesa ve'elu baneha, if he says, I know I left single, but while I was in Medina Siyam, I got married. And also while I was in Medina Siyam, my wife died. And these are the children that I had with that wife. Then tzarech lavi raya alisha ve'ala banim. Then he's going to have to bring a raya independently for both the wife and for the children, because there's nothing connecting the wife and the children. There's no kruchim achareha to tell us that the children are necessarily the children of that woman. Amar Rabbi Rav Huna v'kulam b'kruchem acharas. Rabbi Rav Huna makes that critical point that we just mentioned, that all of this is when it's kruchem achareha, when the children are following along, are tagging along with the mother, that's when we get to make the assumption that if you prove the mother's yichus, that that's all you need to do. Once you prove that she's a miuchasas, then the children are good. Tanu Rabbanan, Isha Nasasi b'Medina Siyam. The Braisa teaches, a guy says, I got married b'Medina Siyam, mevi raya li'isha, vein sarach lavi raya ala banim. He could bring a raya about the woman, he does not have to bring a raya about the children. Umevi raya ala gedolim, vein sarach lavi raya ala katanim. But he's going to have to bring a raya on adult children who are not going to be kruchem achareha, because they're already gedolim. But he's not going to have to bring a raya on ketanim, because ketanim are obviously going to be kruchem achareha. But medvar mamurim, b'isha achas. That's all if it's one woman. Aval b'shtei nashim, but if there were two women, maybe raya al-isha v'ala banim ala gedolim v'ala ketanim. But when it's two women, you're going to have to bring a raya both on the woman and on the children, and it doesn't make a difference the age of the children. You have to bring a raya even on the ketanim. So there's machlokas rishonim what that line means. Why is it that when it's two women, all of a sudden you need to bring all of the rayas, even for children that are gedolim? Rashi explains that if the guy says that he had another wife and he's only bringing back one of his two wives because the other wife died, then he's going to have to bring a raya even for the small children, that they in fact are the children of the surviving wife who we check into a yichus, and it's not going to help that they're krucha machareha, Rashi writes. Why is it not going to help that they're krucha machareha? Because naturally, if a man is married to two women and he has children from both of them, and one of them dies, the children of the deceased mother are going to treat the other woman like their own mother, so they're going to be krucha machareha even though she is not their biological mother. And therefore, we're choshesh that these are the children of the one that actually died, and when she died, the surviving wife is the one that raised them. So that's how Rashi says Gemara. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisur Bia Perchav Halacha Zayin writes that even if both women are alive, and he brings a raya on the kashrus of one of the women, he's going to still have to bring a raya on the katanim, that they are the children of that woman, even if they're karuch achareha, because we're choshesh that they belong to the other woman who was not nivdekes, who we did not check into her yichus, and still they're living as one big happy family, so they're going to be karuch achareha, even though it's not really their mother. So essentially, Rashi and the Rambam are arguing in what the metzius would normally be. When you have two wives, is it normal for the children of one to behave toward the other, when they're both alive, to behave toward the other as if she is their mother? The Rambam thinks that's normal, and therefore karuch achareha proves nothing. Rashi says, no, that would be highly unusual. The only case where you could assume they would behave that way is if their own mother actually died. Amrei Shlakish, back in the bottom line, Amrei Shlakish, lo shanu el b'kodshe agavol. When do we rely on this idea that they're karuch achareha, and therefore we just work with the assumption these must be her children? That's only when it comes to eating truma. When it comes to, if the guy's a Kohen and he wants to feed these children truma, so we say, okay, these must be his children because from this wife, and she's a miuchasas, because they're karuch achareha. That's when we'll rely on karuch achareha. Aval b'yuchsin, lo. But when it comes to marrying them off to Kohanim, if these children are girls, then it's not going to be enough. That's not going to be enough to prove their yichus. Rabbi Yochanan amar afilu liyuchsin. Even when it comes to yuchsin, we're somich on the chazaka that karuch achareha. We assume that they're perfectly kosher, and therefore, if they're girls, they're able to marry Kohanim. Vaz Rabbi Yochanan tamei, and this is Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaso, that he thinks the chazaka is powerful enough that we're willing to rely on a chazaka even when it comes to something as important as yichus. We even give malchus just based on information that's gleaned from a chazaka alone. Not only that, soklin, v'sarfin al chazakos. We'll give someone skila, we'll give someone sreifa based on a chazaka. Ve'in sarfin truma al chazakos. The only thing we don't do, strangely, is we're not going to burn truma based on a chazaka, but we're going to actually burn a person. We'll do sreifa based on a chazaka. So we're talking about different chazakos, as the Gemara is about to explain. Malkin al Chazakos, where's a case where we're giving Malkus based on a Chazaka alone? Rav Yehuda, like Rav Yehuda taught, Rav Yehuda, Huchsuka Nida Bishchenu Seha. If a woman was known to be a Nida in her neighborhood, it used to be that when a woman became a Nida, it was not a private matter, it was not something that she would keep to herself, because she couldn't just keep that to herself. If she would just keep that to herself, people wouldn't know to keep their truma away from her, people wouldn't know how to be careful about her medris and her begadim and all of these things. So what when in a world where we observe halachs of tum and tara, it was important for people to know when she was a nida. So she would wear different clothing that would indicate that she was a nida. That's why there's nothing in our tradition that tells us that we're not allowed to, that we have to keep the fact that a woman is a nida private. That's not, that doesn't have to be private information. The Rama writes that one is supposed to be mastir lel tevila, that the night she goes to the mikvah, that we're not supposed to publicize because there's a mitzvah's ona on the lel tevila. So that's considered a breach of tznius to publicize that. But when a woman becomes a nida, it used to be that it was a very, very public thing. Ramesha writes in a tshuva, someone asked if it's if a person is embarrassed to observe all of the harchakos in front of their friends and relatives because it's going to be obvious that the wife is a nida. So can you be makel on some of the harchakos? Can you maybe be makel at least on the harchaka of passing something from one to the other, which doesn't appear in the Gemara, is only a minhag Rashi in front of other people because it's going to be embarrassing for her. So Moshe says, I don't understand embarrassing. What does it mean? It's embarrassing. Embarrassing that she's a young, healthy woman who becomes a nida. That's not embarrassing at all. Embarrassing that when she becomes a nida, she observes the halacha. That's certainly not embarrassing at all. He says there's nothing to be embarrassed about because Moshe is working with tradition that it used to be that it was well known that everyone would always publicize that a woman was a nida. Of course, one could argue that that's a very male way of looking at things, that there's no logical reason why you should be embarrassed. But a woman would say, but I still feel embarrassed. Okay, but that's Ramesh's psak, that not to be makel on these things, because it used to be that was public knowledge. It's interesting, sometimes you do find in poskim where they take that level of embarrassment into consideration. Rav Vosner has a tshuva where he discusses, the Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch that a woman is a nida shouldn't go to shul, so shul we're already makel on, or to a beis hakvaros. So Rav Vosner says, but if it's a close family funeral and everyone's going to realize that the reason she's not coming to the beis hakvaros is because she's a nida, so that's embarrassing, and therefore she can go to the beis hakvaros. So I don't know. He would never be makel with the harchakos shayla, but he's at least acknowledging that it's possible that there's such a that there's something to be embarrassed. You know, that a woman would feel embarrassed about something like that. But okay, anyway. So huchsgad nida b'shchein oseha. If the only way we know she's a nida is because she's been wearing big day nidos, so she's been acting like she's a nida. It's as if she didn't say it verbally, she didn't announce I am a nida, but she's wearing the clothing that pretty much announces that she's a nida. Then bala loka la mishum nida, if the husband is baaler, he's going to be chayiv malkus for sleeping with a nida. How do you know she's really a nida? It's only the chazaka, it's only the fact that she's wearing the clothing of nidos that we know she's a nida, but still we're going to give malkus based on that alone. The tour in Yardea Sim Kufpehe quotes from the Ramban that even though the Gemara in Ksubis tells us that if a woman says Tameya Anilach, let's say a woman tells her husband, I am a nida, so she's Ne'amenes L'gabe Atzma, Shavya Anavsha Chaticha Di Yisura, we assume she's Tameya, but she's able to back out if she has an Amasla L'dvareha. Let's say she says to the husband afterwards, by the way, I was just kidding, I'm not kidding, but I the reason I said that was that, I wasn't feeling well, and I wanted you to have some Rachmanos, or whatever. She had some reason to say that Tameya Anilach, so then she's able to be chozer as long as it's a reasonable amasla. But, says the Torah, once she's already wearing the big day nidos, she's not allowed to say that she's Torah, even with an amasla, because otherwise, how can you give malchus? She might still back out and say, "What? No, I wasn't really tame. There was just a reason that I wanted to put on those clothing so that other men wouldn't start up with me, or whatever excuse she might want to give." However, the Torah says that doesn't make any sense. Why would it be that huchzika nida b'shchenuseha is stronger than her saying beferish tameani? When she says tameani, if she gives an amasla afterwards, she could back out of that, and she can actually will assume she's Torah. But huchzika nida is going to be even stronger. Beis Yosef quotes from the Rashba and Torah Sabayis that no, sometimes saying tamea, she does it machmas ones, that she's that happens some sort of embarrassment. But to do a maisa, to wear bigdei nidus, is actually a stronger statement than actually making a statement, than actually saying the words tamea ani. So that's the discussion in the Rishonim, whether a masla works even when she wore bigdei nidus, or a masla only works when she says tamea ani. The Ramah in the Tshuva raises the question, why does the Gemara over here say that huchzka nida b'shchenuseha ba'ala lokala mishum nida? Who's the Isra of nida on? It's certainly an Isra on the man to be ba'al the woman, but it's also an Isra on the woman to be nevelas to the man. Why is it ba'ala lokala? Why isn't it that she also gets malchus? So the Ramah writes that maybe only the husband gets malchus because he doesn't know the truth. But she knows the truth. She knows whether she's a nida or not. For him, maybe yeah, maybe no. So for him, it's purely chazaka. But she, who knows the truth, she could say, I know for sure that I'm not a nida, and therefore she would not get malchus. But the Ramah just points out, that's very difficult, because the Gemara is going to say in a line or two, that if you have a man or a woman that act their whole lives like a father and daughter, and then they sleep with each other, so now they're chayiv sreifa on each other, even though the father knows the truth. He knows whether it's his daughter or not. So that's why the Ramah says, no, that the woman also is going to get malchus once she's huchzka nida b'shchenu seha. What we're trying to say is that even Baila, who is not machzik her for a nida, is going to get malchus. Meaning huchzka nida b'shchenu seha is her own doing. She's the one that put on the big day nida, so of course she's going to get malchus, says the Ramah. The chiddush is the husband didn't do anything to declare her a nida, and even he's going to get malchus. That's the chiddush of this line. So that's where we see that we give malchus based on the chazaka. Says Gemara further, soklin v'sarfin al chazakos. We give skila and sreifa based on chazakos as well. Kederab barafuna, like Rabbi Rafuna taught, damarab barafuna, ish v'isha, tinok v'tinokas. You have a man and a woman, a child, a male child, female child, sheigdilu b'soch habayis. They all live together as one happy family. It looks like it's a father, a mother, a son, a daughter. Niskalin zalzev and nisrafin zalzev. They'll be chayv skilo or sreifa for sleeping with each other, depending on which relationship it is. But you see that we're just relying on the fact that they were living in the same house to assume that it was really family. And because we're assuming it's family, that's why we're going to put them to death over things like that. The Rambam in Isuri Bia, Perek Aleph Halacha Chaf, writes that there's a raya from this din, from what the Torah says, Maka Aviv Yumas, that if a person hits his father, then he's Chayiv Misa. How do you know it's your father when you hit the guy? It could be that he's not your father. It must be that it's Chazaka, that we rely on the Chazaka, that since you've been living as one big happy family, he's acted like your father, and we don't know of any adoption, we don't know of anything that would tell us that he's not the father. So Mela, we assume that it's the father. It's the same din. The Beis Shmuel just points out that that's a little bit difficult, that the Rambam says hitting the father is based on chazaka. There's a Beferish Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud Aleph that says, why is it when it's Maka Aviv Yumas? After all, how do you know it's a father? So Gemara says, this is a source that we're Holchanachar Rov, that we follow Rov, because Rov Be'ilo Sachar Abaal, we assume that the fellow's mother was married to this man, and most of the Be'os that a woman has is with her husband, even if she sometimes has been with someone else. Most of the time, it's going to be with the husband. So you have the right to follow the rove to assume that that man is your father. So apparently, it's a din in rove, not a din in chazaka. So that's what the Beis Shmuel points out. Difficult to understand why the Rambam makes this about chazaka. L'chor, it's not about chazaka at all. It's really about rove. In Divrei Yecheskel, he says that you need both reasons. You need both the rove and the chazaka. Without the rove, we would never know at the time that that he's born, that he's the guy's son. So you need the din of Rov to declare him initially as the guy's son. Chazaka is that it's the same kid. That the same kid that was born at the time of birth is still, the chazaka is that the one that's been living with him as the son, that they've been living in the same family together, that's where we rely on chazaka. So Amar Rav Shimon Pazi, Amar Rav Shimon Levi Mishum Bar Kapara, Maisa Bi'isha Shavas Yerushalayim, V'tinok Morkov La'al Ksefa, V'gdilasa. There's a story once, a woman came to Yerushalayim, she had a baby on her shoulders, she raised the child, Uba Aleha, and then after the child grew up, he was Ba'al, the mother, what seemed to be the mother. V'yivim L'Bezlun V'saklam, and they brought them to Bezlun, they gave him Skila, because this is a child and a mother, we have every right to assume it's a child and a mother. Lo Mipnei Shebna Vadai, but not because we're certain that it's her child. El Misha Karuch Acharel, but that's the Chazaka of Karuch Acharel that you rely on that Chazaka. So that's where we see that we're going to give Skila and Shreifa just based on the Chazaka. But says the Gemara, the Ein Sarfin Truma al Chazakos. We also mentioned that we don't burn Truma based on the Chazaka alone. Dam Rab Shimon Lakish Sarfin al Chazakos. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Sarfin. Reish Lakish says we do burn. Rabbi Yochanan says we don't. Vazlu Tamayu. This is Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan Lishitasam in how they explain the sheet of the Rabbanan in the following Mishnah. Ditnan. The Mishnah tells us as follows. Tinok shenimtza b'tzadi isa ubetzik biyado. If you have a child that's found right next to some dough and he's got a little bit of dough in his hand, Rameir mitayer v'cham mitamin. Rameir says that it's tar, the cham say that it's tame, v'mreisha darko shel tinok l'tapeach, because it's normal for the child to play around. What is going on over here? What are we concerned about? What's tame? What's tahar? Where does the child play? What's the issue over here? This is a fundamental machlokas. Rashi tells us just how to teach the Mishnah. Rashi writes that since he's holding a piece of dough in his hand, we know that he obviously touched the dough. Otherwise, he never would have gotten a piece of it in his hand. The only thing is, we don't know if the child is tame or not. But since it's the derech of tinokos, the tapeach, bishratzim, unevelos, since it's normal for children to play with all sorts of little rodents and nevelos and all sorts of tame things that they find in the ashpa, so it's a rove that the child is tame. And that's the machlokas tanaim. Rameir holds, since the dough has a cheskas tara, we're mitire the dough, even though there's a rove that the tinok is tame, the chum disagree and they say that no, the rove is greater than the chazaka, and therefore the dough is considered to be tame. That's how Rashi understands. Tosos has a number of questions on Shitas Rashi, and Tosos quotes Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that the child knows Vadai Tame, because Nashim Nidos are Megafifosu Menashkos also. Children are always being hugged and coddled by women who are Nidos, and therefore for sure the kid is Tame. The only suffix is whether the child took the dough himself and therefore touched the rest of the dough, so all the dough would be considered tame, or did someone come over, cut a piece of dough off, someone who's tar, cut a piece of dough off, and give a little bit to the kid to play with. So since it's derech of children, litapeach, not ba'ashba, not with nevelos and shratzim, no, it's the derech of a tinok litapeach bi'isa, it's normal for a kid to want to play with dough, so it's a rove that he took the dough himself. That's the machlokas tanaim, where Rameir says tar because we can the isa is a cheskas tara, even though there's a rove that the child touched it, and the chamar metame because they hold that the rove is better than chazaka, that rove beats out chazaka. That is shitas Rabbeinu Tam in how to understand this Mishnah. So that we continue to describe the two shitos, the shitos of tanaim. Va'avinu ba my time mid Rameir. Why does Rameir say that the dough is considered tahar? Kasava rov tinokos mitapchin. We assume that most tinokos play around. Again, according to Rashi, that means play in the ashba and therefore deal with tame things. According to Rabbeinu Tam, means play with dough and therefore probably touch the rest of the dough. But there's a minority of children that are very well behaved and sit still and don't touch anything and don't want to get their hands dirty with anything. But the dough started with a cheskas tara. So take that cheskas tara, team it up together with the miut of children that don't play around with these things. Itrelei ruba, and that will be enough to overcome the rove. So even though there is a rove that this would be tameh, the miut and the chazaka combine to overpower that rove. V'rabbanan, and the Rabbanan would say, no, miyut to command a lesser dummy. The miyut is as if it doesn't exist. When you have a rov against a miyut, we don't keep the miyut into account. We assume the rov wins, and therefore the miyut can be ignored going forward. And therefore, all you're left with is ruba v'chazaka. It's a rov that the dough would be tamei, chazaka that the dough was tahar, and ruba adif, rov beats chazaka. Amrish Lakshm Shim Raboshia Zui Shasofran Alaya Satruma. So Raboshia says, Rishlaksh says in the name Raboshia, yeah, this is we burn Truma on this. Meaning when we say, when the Rabbanan say that that Ruba Adif, and therefore we assume it's Tame, means we assume Tame Vadai, that if this dough was Truma, we'd actually burn it. It doesn't just mean we'd be cautious about it. We'd actually burn it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Einzu Chazaka Shesafrin Ala Truma. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's only Chazaka, and we're not going to burn Truma based on the Chazaka. And therefore, we'll just leave it as Tolin. We're not going to let a Kohen eat it, Betara, but we're also not going to burn it. We're not going to take that risk that we might be burning Truma Tahora. Ela Einzu Chazaka Rabbi Yochanan Shesafrin Ala Truma. So what would be a case where Rabbi Yochanan would actually burn Truma based on the Chazaka? Is there any such Chazaka that's strong enough that even Rabbi Yochanan would agree you could burn Truma? Kiditna in the following Mishnah. Isa b'sol chabayis. You have a dough in the house, ushratim utzvardim metaplin sham. And there are all sorts of little creatures, some of which are tame, shratim, and some of which are tahar, tzvardim, that are around that dough. V'nimtzu chatichos b'isa. And we find pieces of flesh in that dough from either shratim or tzvardim, but we can't tell what it's from. Im rov shratim tamei. If most of what you have around the house are shratim, then it's tamei. But im rov tzvardim tahora. But if it's mostly tzvardim, then it's considered to be tahora. The many different shitos. Why is it that Rabbi Yochanan agrees in this case that it's sorry for the truma? I mean, and this is a strong enough chazaka to burn the truma, but the previous one is not. Why is this a greater chazaka to be sorry for truma than the chazaka that tinokos are metaplim, that children play around in the ashbor, they play around with Isa? So Rashi explains that over there it's a ruba di Isa kaman. So Rabbi Yochanan's moda that you're sorry for truma by ruba di Isa kaman, meaning ruba di Isa kaman means that there are different types of rov. There's ruba di Isa kaman, ruba di Lasa kaman. Ruba di Lasa kaman means that you can't count it. You just know that that's just the way things work. That most of the time this is the way things work out. But it's not that you took a poll and you're able to see, oh, there are 1,000 people and in 700 cases it worked out this way. Ruba di Isa kaman is where it's right there in front of you, where you can actually count it. 9 stores selling basar shchuta, 1 selling basar nevela, that's a ruba di Isa kaman. That's right there that you can count it. So over here by the shratzim and the tzvardim, you look around the house, you take a poll. How many of these little rodents are shratzim? How many are tzvardim? So there are more shratzim than there are tzvard. That's a ruba di Isa kaman. So maybe a ruba di Isa kaman is going to be stronger. That's how Rashi understands. Tosa Rosh quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that rov metapchim is not really a rov gomur. And that's why we're not going to be sorry of truma. But over here it actually is a rov gomur, except he doesn't explain what makes it not a rov gomur. The Balamor suggests that over here there's tumma lefaneinu in the house. There are shratzim actually there. But by the tinok, we don't know that there was any tumma. Meaning we're guessing based on rov that tumma even existed in that picture of the child with the dough in his hand. Over here we know that there's tumma in the house. There are shratzim in the house. We just don't know if that tumma is what landed in that dough. So that's where we're going to be a little more machmir. That's how the Baal Amar explains. But all the Rishonim work on that issue. Why is it that Rabbi Yochanan sometimes will say will be soreif truma based on the chazaka, and sometimes not soreif truma based on a chazaka? Tanya kavasid Rabbi Yochanan. We have a brisa that says just like Rabbi Yochanan, that supports Rabbi Yochanan that when we say tameh, sometimes it's only midrabanan to say that the truma is tolen, not that the truma is going to actually be burnt. Shnei dvarim ein v'mdasli shol v'asam chacham k'mashi yesh v'mdasli shol. That there are two things that you cannot ask whether they became tameh or not, and nevertheless will treat it as if you could. Meaning, normally, as we said before, the halach is safik tumah Brishos HaYachid is Tamei Savik Tum Brishos HaRabim is Tar. But that's only on a Dover Sheyesh Bo Das Lishol, because all of that is derived from Sota, and Sota is Yesh Bo Das Lishol. But if you have something that you cannot ask, you can't interview the Sheretz. Hey, Sheretz, did you touch that dough? Did you not touch? There's no one to ask. So then the Halach is always going to be Safik is Tar. But there are two cases where it's Ein Bo Das Lishol, but still we treat it like Yesh Bo Das Lishol, where Brishos HaYachid it's going to be Sveiko Tamei. Tinok va'od acheres, the case of the child, and one more case. Tinok adiyamin, the case of the child is the one that we said. That was the, you can't ask the kid, he's a little kid, he doesn't know the difference. Va'od acheres mayhi, and what's the other case? Isa b'tzoch habayis, you have a doe in the house, v'tarnagolim mashkim tameim sham, and you have chickens there, and you have a liquid, a drink, that's tamei. V'nimtzu'u nekurim, nekurim b'isa. And clearly chickens have been pecking at this dough. You see clearly that there are some holes in the dough from the pecking of the chickens. You're just not sure, did the chickens first dip their faces into the tameh mashkin and then start pecking at the dough, bringing tameh mashkin to the dough and being metameh the dough? So tolin. In that case, we're tolin, lo ochlin v'lo sarfin. You can't eat it, Kohanim cannot eat it as truma Torah, but nor do we burn it as truma tameh. Amr Rabbi Shimon Levi lo shanu al b'mashkim levanim. That's only when it comes to a white liquid. Av b'mashkim adumim, but a red liquid that was tamei imisa denakir made the yadia. If the chickens were actually pecking away at it, we would know about it. We'd be able to see it in the dough. We'd see the red spots all over the dough. So frak the Gemara, how do you know that? V'dilma b'latinu isa. Maybe the dough absorbed even a red liquid, and therefore you can't see the red spots in the dough. Amr Rabbi Yochanan davarze shama b'ribi. Uperusha lo shame. He says that the Gadol Hador Rabbi Shimon Levi heard this idea that there's a chilik between a white liquid and a red liquid, but he never heard the explanation of what qualifies as a white liquid and what qualifies as a red liquid. Lo shanu el b'mashkim tzlulim shebabur shel tinok nikarba. What qualifies as a white liquid is if it's clear enough that you can see one's reflection in it, regardless of the tint of the color of the liquid, but if you can see your reflection in it, then we assume that it would become absorbed in the dough to the point that it's unrecognizable. So the chicken could have put his face in the liquid, stuck his face in the dough, and it would just get absorbed totally in the dough, and we wouldn't know anything about it. But if it's the liquid is foggy enough that you wouldn't be able to see a reflection in the liquid, then we assume that if that liquid came in contact with that dough, we would know about it. Okay, now we begin the sugya of yichud. Says the Mishnah, lo yisyachid adam im shtei nashim. A man is not allowed to have yichud with two women. It's so strange that that's how we start, that's how we introduce the isra of yichud. You would think you'd introduce the isra of yichud as, what does yichud mean? A man and a woman are not allowed to be alone in a room. And then say, oh, vafilu shtei nashim. No. We start the sugya, a man is not allowed to be alone with two women. Is that even an isra d'oraisa? There's a Tshuvas HaRashba, Chelek Aleph Sim Tavkuf Pei Zayin, where the Rashba writes that the Yisru Yichud with one man, one woman is certainly Daraisa. There are Gemaras that say explicitly like this, a Yichud is Daraisa, but the Yisru for a man to be with two women is only Gzeri Midrabanan. And the Shoel in the Tshuvas HaRashba proves this from the fact that the Gemara is going to ask why it is that one man and two women are not allowed to be Yichud with each other. And the Gemara is going to explain, oh, because Nashim Daitan Kalas Alayhen. Women are more easily seduced, women are more likely to sin even in front of a friend because they assume that the friend is going to violate the Avera as well, and therefore they'll cover for each other. We give you svaras. If it's a din d'oraisa, you don't need a svara. If it's a din d'oraisa, why? Because God said so. Because it says in the Torah that you're not allowed to have yichud, even one man and two women. So that leads the Shoel in Tshuvas HaRashba to believe that one man, two women is only an iser midrabanan. That one man, one woman is an iser d'oraisa. The Rashba, and the Shoel wants to suggest, and therefore, maybe when you're dealing with Yichud Arayos, that's where the Rabbanan were machmir, that you can't have one man and two women. But maybe when you're dealing with Yichud with a single girl, which is not Arayos, let's assume she's not a Nida, because that would complicate things further, but Yichud with a single girls who are not Arayos, maybe the Halacha would be one man and two women is mutter, because it's a double Drabbanan. Single girls are only Drabbanan anyway, and two women is only Drabbanan. So that part the Rashba rejects. The Rashba says, says, I'm with you on the first part of the cheshbon. One man, two women, that may only be an issa d'rabbanan. But to then assume that we're not going to overlap the rabbanans and we're just going to make it that it's totally mutter when they're single girls, that far the Rashba doesn't go. It also doesn't say, what would the din be if there were three women, right? It only says a man is allowed to be with two women, is not allowed to be with two women. Is it also us to have yichud with three women? Then we're going to have a Mishnah in a couple of days from now, Pei Beis Amidalf, in the last half of the Masechta, that tells us that anyone who's asaka v'manashim, whose job is to deal with women all day, is not allowed to be misyached with nashim. And Rashi says that even though normally a man is not allowed to be with two women, but normally a man is allowed to be with three women or more, but someone who's asaka v'manashim, someone who's always dealing with women, and therefore women are always going to feel comfortable with him, and they're always going to cover for him, so then he's not even allowed to have yichud with more than two women. So you see, Rashi very clearly understands that a man is not allowed to have yichud, a typical man is not allowed to have yichud with two women, but more than two would be mutter. That's the way Rashi seems to understand. Tosos, however, is going to be chalik on Rashi, and Tosos is going to prove that it's asur to have yichud even with three women. When the Mishnah says that someone who's asakav amanashim is not allowed to have yichud with him, the Mishnah means to say even kashe ishto imo, even if the guy's wife is with him. Normally, ishto imo is the biggest hater. You have your wife in the room with you, it's not a yichud problem for whoever else might be in the room with you. But someone who's asakav amanashim, Tosfos holds that even ishto imo doesn't help, that he's got to be very careful, he's got to have other guys around as well. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Avil isha achas misyachedes im shnei anashim. One woman is allowed to be alone in a room with two men, because we assume men will be embarrassed in front of each other, and only so neither one will sin because of fear that the other one is going to go and tell people. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af ish echad misyachid im shtei nashim bizman sheishto imo. A man is allowed to be with two women if his wife is with him. So that's a discussion of the Rishonim over here. Is it when one of those women is his wife, or is it his wife plus two women? Is bizman sheishto imo really going as part of this phrase? Or is it ubizman sheishto imo yashnimo im bepuntiki? That it goes with the next phrase. That when his wife is with him, he's even allowed to sleep in the same hotel room as these two women. But we assume definitely when his wife is with him, that creates a certain heter, mipnei sheishto mishamarto, because his wife is going to guard over him. She's going to make sure he doesn't do anything wrong. Next, misyachid adam im imo v'im bito. A man is allowed to have yichud with his mother, and he's allowed to have yichud with his daughter as well. V'yashnimo b'kiruv basar. They're even allowed to sleep in the same bed together, b'kiruv basar. V'imigdilu, but once the child gets a little bit older, while they're still allowed to sleep in the same bed, zu yashena b'ksusa, v'zei yashen b'ksuso. Each one has to be clothed. The father and daughter, or the mother and son, both need to be clothed in that bed. Now, it doesn't say anything about grandparents. The Ran writes that since the Mishnah says daughter, you can only be matir the daughter and not a granddaughter. However, the Bach paskins that no, kol yotze yerechav, kol yotze chalotzeha, they're all included as bito, and a person is allowed to have yichud with bas bito, bas bito, v'chule v'chule, that no matter how many generations down. Pischei Tshuva writes that from the Nod of Yudah it sounds that there's an issur of yichud with a bas and with bas bino, with one's son's daughter. So there's a big discussion about pashtuses that we're makel that it's kol yotze chalotzav like the Bach writes. Okay, says the Gemara now. My time, what's the reason one man is not allowed to be alone with two women? Because we assume women are more easily seduced. Minani mili, how do I know that? Amar Rav Yochanan, how do we know the general list of yichud at all? So Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, remez li yichud min haTorah minayin. Where do we have a remez to yichud in the Torah? Shenemar, pasuk says ki yisischa chicha beni mecha, that when your brother, the son of your mother, will be mesis, you will try to lead you astray to avodah zarah. So why does it have to say the son of your mother? Can it just say achicha? I know what a brother is. A brother is either the son of my mother or the son of my father, or the son of both. Why does it have to say ben imecha? What? V'chi ben aim mesis, ben av eino mesis? Does the son of a mother lead you astray, the son of a father not? Why does it give that example? Ella, rather, what the Torah was doing by juxtaposing those two words, ben and imecha, is to teach us ben misyachidim imo va'asul isyachidim kalarayah shabbatorah, that a son and a mother are allowed to have yichud together, but no other arayos in the Torah are allowed to have yichud together. So there are a number of interesting points that need to be discussed over here. We'll just maybe briefly touch on them. First of all, the word remez is striking. Yichud is clear in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Yichud is nisadar raisa. So remez is an unusual word to describe something that's in fact in nisadar raisa. Rashi in Shabbos Daf Yud Gimel Tosos over there, and really the Gemara is explicitly in Avodah Zarah, Lamed Zayin, and Masech Sanhedrin. They all say that yichud is an iser midar raisa. The Rambam, however, in Yisur Biya Perachaveis Halachaveis, writes that yichud arayus is midivrei kabbalah. So that's a machlokas achronim what the Rambam means. The Beis Yosef understands, and Ebenezer Simon Chav Beis, that according to the Rambam, it's only from the Nevi'im. And when the Gemara Nevel Dazar says Daraisa, it doesn't really mean Daraisa. And the Makor of the Rambam is our Gemara. It says Remez liyichud min haTorah. All we have in the Torah is a Remez. However, the Mishnah Melech and others understand that the Rambam also holds yichud as Daraisa. Sometimes, even things that are min haTorah, but are not Mefurash Bikra, the Rambam refers to as Divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah meaning that we needed the Torah Shebaal Peh to interpret what this Din D'Oraisa really is. And the other critical point over here is we're saying that Yichud with Arayos is Aser. Yichud with all the Arayos. What about things that aren't quite Arayos? What about Yichud with Yisurei Lavin, with Chayavei Lavin? That's not Arayos, but it's an Iser Min HaTorah to be with them. So that's also a major discussion that we're not going to have time for right now. Frankly, what's the pshuto shel mikra over here? Why does the pasuk give the example of ben imecha as opposed to ben avicha? Meaning, the pasuk's not really about yichud. Not only is the son of your father someone you need to be cautious about because he doesn't like you since you're going to compete with him for Yerusha, so he might give you bad advice. Even the son of your mother who you have no problems with, you might think you should listen to whatever he tells you because you have no reason to distrust him. That's why he has to tell us that no, you should distrust anybody who's telling you to do Avodah Zarah. Maybe our Mishnah that says that one man and two women are not allowed to have yichud is against Abba Shaul. Titania, because the Brisa teaches, Kol Shoshim Yom Yotzi B'chik V'nikbar B'Isha Achas U'Shnei Anashim, Avalo B'Isha Echad V'Shtei Nashim. That if a baby dies within 30 days of its birth, it doesn't get a normal levaya, they would just go out, a couple of people, and bury him in the outskirts of town. But make sure that it's not one man and two women that are going to the outskirts of town, because that's yichud. But Abba Shaul, Omer Af B'Isha Abishol's got no problem with one man and two women bearing the child. Apparently, Abishol's against our Mishnah. He thinks one man and two women is not Yichud. Says Gemara, no, Afilu Tema Abishol. Our Mishnah's following Abishol. Bishas Aninus Tavir Yitzrei. When is it not going to be Yichud? When they're burying a baby. Who's going to be thinking of doing things like that when they're Rachman al Tzlan, they're burying a little baby. But in a normal situation where it's one man and two women, that's where there's Yichud. The Rabbanan Savila Krab Yitzchak. The Rabbanan will hold like Rabbi Yitzchak. Dam Rabbi Yitzchak, my son in Adam Chai Gavar al Chata'ov. What's the pasuk talking about? Afilu b'shas aninu so shaladam Yitzchak is Gavar alav. It's telling us that even in sad times, even when a person is in a time of mourning, still the Yetzer Hara is strong. V'abashol, and Abashol will say, no, you know what pshat in that pasuk is? Ki ksiv ahu b'misrayim al midosav ksiv. That pasuk is talking about a person who's complaining about how terrible life is. V'hachi kamar, and this is what the pasuk is saying. Ma Yisrayim al midosav. Why are you complaining about the circumstances that life has given you, about all the suffering that one is having in his life? V'chi gavar al chata'av. What, have you overcome all of your sins that you have the right to complain about how God treats you? Dayu chayim shenasati lo. You should be happy that you have life. God is giving you free oxygen, even though we don't deserve it because we haven't overcome all of our sins. V'rabbanan, and the Rabbanan would respond, Ki ahu maisa tayitza davu uvda va'apikte, that even in a time of aninus, even though a person may not have that same yitzhar hara, you still have to be choshesh that something might go on, because what might seem like a time of aninus may not really be a time of aninus. At least that's how Rashi explains that in the first pshat, that it could be that people will fake it, they'll pretend that they're burying a baby as a cover to be able to get out and have yichud together. And that's why we have to be concerned, even if it seems like it's a time of animus. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots.